color-coded to denote the wearer's specialty. Once they had filled their trays and found a table, Grant asked, "I'm still not clear about what you actually do here." Moving his lunch dishes from his tray to the table, Muzarawa asked, "Do you mean me personally or the station in general?" "Both, I guess," said Grant, sliding his empty tray under his chair. "This station is the headquarters for the ongoing studies of Jupiter's moons," Muzarawa said, as if reciting from a manual. "Almost everyone here on the station is support staff for those studies." Grant shook his head unsatisfied. "Okay, I know there are teams studying the life forms under the ice on Europa and Callisto, and the volcanoes on Io, and the dynamics of the ring system, and Ganymede and the smaller moons, too. But you're not involved in any of that, are you?" Muzarawa hesitated a moment, then replied, "No, not me." "Neither are Egon or Lainey. She prefers to be called Lane. But none of you are studying the moons, right?" Reluctantly, Grant thought, Muzarawa replied, "No. We are part of a small group that is studying the planet itself, not the moons or the ring system." "And Dr. Wo?" An even longer hesitation. Then, "Dr. Wo's official title is Station Director. He runs the entire operation here. He reports directly to the IAA back on Earth." Grant saw that Muzarawa looked distinctly uneasy when Wo's name was mentioned. And no wonder. The director must have the power of life and death over all of us, or just about, Grant reasoned. Lowering his voice to a near whisper, Muzarawa said, "Wo is more interested in Jupiter itself than its moons. That's why he split us away from the rest of the staff and set us up to study the Jovian atmosphere." "And the ocean," Grant prompted. Again, Muzarawa hesitated. Grant got the impression that the man was arguing with himself, debating inwardly about how much he should tell this curious newcomer. "Wo has assigned a small team to study the ocean," he said at last. "There are only 10 of us, plus Dr. Wo himself, and the medical and technical support staffs, of course." "Why do you need a medical support staff?" Grant wondered. "The ocean is Wo's obsession," Muzarawa added, actually whispering now. "He is determined to find out what's going on down there." "So what do you actually work on?" "Me? The fluid dynamics of the Jovian atmosphere and ocean." Grant said nothing, waiting for more. "The atmosphere-ocean system is like nothing we've seen before," Muzarawa said, his tone at last brightening, losing its guarded edge, taking on some enthusiasm. "But for one thing, there's no clear demarcation between the gas phase and the liquid, no sharp boundary where the atmosphere ends and the ocean begins." "There's no real surface to the ocean," Grant said, wanting to show the older man that he wasn't totally ignorant. "No, not like on Earth. Jupiter's atmosphere gradually thickens, gets denser and denser until it's not a gas anymore, but a liquid. It's, well, it's something else, let me tell you." Before Grant could respond, Muzarawa hunched closer in his chair and went on, "It's heated from below, you see. The planet's internal heat is stronger than the solar influx on the tops of the clouds. The pressure gradient is really steep. Jupiter's gravity field is the strongest in the solar system." 2.54 Gs, Grant recited. "Now that's merely at the top of the cloud deck," Muzarawa said, waggling one hand in the air. "It gets stronger as you go down into the atmosphere. Do you have any idea of what the pressures are down there?" Grant shrugged. "Thousands of times normal atmospheric pressure. Thousands of times the pressure at the bottom of the deepest ocean on Earth," Muzarawa corrected. A smile was growing on his face, the happy, contented smile of a scientist talking about his special field of study. So the pressure squeezes the atmosphere and turns the gases into liquids. Certainly. There's an ocean down there, an ocean 10 times bigger than the whole Earth. Liquid water, at least 5,000 kilometers deep, perhaps more. We haven't been able to probe that far down yet. And things swimming in the water? Grant guessed. Muzorawa's smile vanished. He glanced over his shoulder, then leaning closer to Grant, he lowered his voice to answer. The unofficial word is, the deepest probes have detected indications of objects moving in the Jovian Ocean. Objects? Objects. Are they living creatures? Muzorawa looked up toward the ceiling, then hunched still closer to Grant, close enough so that Grant could smell a trace of clove or something pungent and exotic on his breath. We don't know. Not yet, but Wo intends to find out. Grant felt a stir of excitement. How? When? Actually whispering again, Muzorawa said, a deep mission. Really deep. And crude. Crude? Crude. Not robotic. A team of 6 people. Grant's jaw fell open. Down into the ocean? Muzorawa made a hushing motion with both his hands and turned to glance guiltily over his shoulder. Not so loud, he whispered. This is all supposed to be top secret. But why? But why? Why should it be secret? Who's he keeping it a secret from? Muzorawa drew back from Grant. With a shake of his head, he said only, you'll find out. Perhaps.
Leviathan. Leviathan followed an upwelling current through the endless sea, smoothly grazing on the food that spiraled down from the abyss above. Far from the kin now, away from the others of its own kind, Leviathan reveled in its freedom from the herd and their plodding cycle of feeding, dismemberment, and rejoining. To human senses, the boundless ocean would be impenetrably dark, devastatingly hot, crushingly dense. Yet Leviathan moved through the surging deeps with ease, the flagella members of its assemblage stroking steadily as its mouthpart slowly opened and closed, in the ancient rhythm of ingestion. To human senses, Leviathan would be staggeringly huge, dwarfing all the whales of Earth, larger than whole pods of whales, larger even than a good-sized city. Yet in the vast depths of the Jovian Sea, Leviathan was merely one of many, slightly larger than some, considerably smaller than the eldest of its kind. There were dangers in that dark, hot, deep sea. Glide too high on the soaring currents toward the source of the bountiful food and the waters grew too thin and cold. Leviathan's members would involuntarily disassemble, shed their cohesion, never to reunite again. Get trapped in a treacherous downsurge and the heat welling up from the abyss below would kill the members before they could break away and scatter. Best to cruise here in the abundant world provided by the symmetry between the abyss above and the abyss below, where the food drifted down constantly from the cold wilderness on high and the warmth from the depths below made life tolerable. Predators swarmed through Leviathan's ocean, swift, voracious darters that struck at Leviathan's kind and devoured their outer members. There were even cases where the predators had penetrated to the core of their prey, rupturing the central organs and forever destroying the poor creature's unity. The elders had warned Leviathan that the darters attacked solitary members of the kin when they had broken away from their group for budding in solitude. Still, Leviathan swam on alone, intent on exploring new areas of the measureless sea. Leviathan remembered when the abyss above had erupted in giant flares of killing heat. Many of Leviathan's kind had disassembled in the sudden violence of those concussions. Even the everlasting rain of food had been disrupted, and Leviathan had known hunger for the first time in its existence. But the explosions dissipated swiftly, and life eventually returned to normal again. Leviathan had been warned of another kind of creature in the sea. A phantasm, a strange picture drawn by others of the kin, like nothing Leviathan had ever sensed for itself. Small, and sluggish and cold, lacking flagella members or any trace of community.